Welcome to the Razor's Ink podcast with your host, Jonathan Farini. Throughout film history, there have been countless films that were ahead of their time. However, there are just as many films that are of their time. So pour yourself a drink, pull up a chair, and hear Jonathan's take on movies, television, and today, a 60s movie that is very much of its time, but also very much ahead of its time. Here's your host, Jonathan Farini.
If you want to know what it feels like to enter the boxing ring and go 114 minutes with a prize fighter, watch Alfie, the original movie, 1966, starring Sir Michael Caine. You'll find yourself black and blue. More about this metaphor later. I first saw it in 1966 at age 8 and returned to it again and again. Without fail, it leaves me in filmmaking awe and in tears. From opening credits, directing, cinematography, editing, casting, writing, musical score, and closing credits, it delivers. Released by Paramount and completed with a paltry budget of $500,000, every cent was squeezed out of the budget to cinema gold dust, settling into box office gold bars. It was a big moneymaker for Gulf and Western, which was a conglomerate headed by a businessman named Charles Bloodhorn, who acquired Paramount in 1966, the first of the non-entertainment company raiders, which would follow in the decades to come and were stuck with now. Sir Michael Caine had 4 films under his belt, but because other name actors fell by the wayside, Alfie became his breakout film.
There was this shirt up with this woman from a foot camp at service I was having it off with. She used to cut me corns handsome, she did. Blimey, I never had my feet in such lovely condition. I was hopping about like a little fairy.
She's got a little ginger moustache, but I find I'm quite willing to overlook the odd blemish in a woman, provided she's got something else to make up for it. Well, that's what we're all here for, isn't it? To help one another out in this life.
Then there was Dora, this little bird from Pimlico I was having it off with every Monday and Wednesday when her young man was at his bodybuilding classes.
His handsome persona and Cockney accent embody the playboy, swinger, Alfie of the mid-60s, mod London scene of the time. Screenplay written and adapted from the 1963 play by Bill Naughton. See his filmography. The screenplay is perfectly circular, introducing a stray dog, which returns at the conclusion of the film and becomes Alfie's sole attachment to unconditional love. As the film begins, Alfie looks into the camera.
Hello? They never make these cars big enough, do they? Well, you all settled in? Right, we can begin. My name is...
Alfie!
Alfie. I suppose you think you're going to see the bleeding titles now. Well, you're not, so you can all relax.
More about this technique in a moment. It wasn't lost on this viewer. There is an unknown protagonist chasing handsome womanizer Alfie throughout this film. And it's time, T-I-M-E. See my podcast about the use of time in films. You find time the enemy of men who use their good looks to get by. See The Sweet Bird of Youth, starring Paul Newman, and American Gigolo, starring Richard Gere. Director Lewis Gilbert forces us into accompanying Alfie by having Michael Caine continuously look into the camera lens and speak to us through this black and blue journey of Alfie's manipulation of women's pursuit of love for his own short-term pleasure, regardless of their age, appearance, or marital status. It's a movie-making technique called breaking the fourth wall, separating actors from the audience.
You know what? Gilda's only decided to marry this Humphrey geezer.
Do you find you get tired easily?
No, I'm full of energy, always have been. I got a letter from her, see? I don't love him, she says, but I do respect him. Well, I don't want no bird's respect. I wouldn't know what to do with it.
Step on the scales, please.
I haven't got much time, you know. She's told me time and again she loves me. Loves me for myself, whatever that may mean.
Have you lost any weight lately?
No, I always weigh 12 stone 6. I've done for years. But I've never told her I love her. Except at those times when you've got to say something for appearance's sake. You know what I mean?
Damn, it's effective in this film. We're up close and personal, you might say, and complicit in Alfie's contemptible behavior. At times, you might want to look away or feel the need to take a shower after his escapades. Alfie's world is getting by on his good looks, snappy dress, and working as a mechanic or a chauffeur. His second job is seducing women and taking pleasure in resisting their love while taking their sex and using their love against them, even if it means reducing a young woman to scrubbing his floors, another woman to have his baby and raise it with another man, and impregnate the wife trapped inside a loveless marriage who has an abortion inside Alfie's apartment. In 1966, abortion wasn't talked about like it is today and not easily available except by illicit methods. In many places, and as the abortionist tells Alfie...
Well, I hope you both appreciate the seriousness of this case. To terminate a pregnancy after more than 28 days is a criminal offense punishable in a court of law with 7 years jail. Do you understand this, you two?
This was a gutsy plot twist inside 1966's Alfie, and I contend made both Paramount and moviegoers at the time uneasy. Abortion in this film is center stage, with the abortionist played by Denholm Elliott coming to induce the abortion at Alfie's small apartment. The married middle-aged woman pays the abortionist and is left alone by Alfie throughout the stages of the abortion to suffer until Alfie returns to confront the dead fetus.
Don't.
Hey?
Don't go in there.
It's the only time we find emotion in Alfie, where he breaks down and cries. Vivian Merchant plays the character Lily, who undergoes the abortion. Denholm Elliott plays the abortionist with contempt for his lot in life, but takes the money. And Vivian Merchant plays the patient, so to speak, with all of the necessary pathos. It's tough to watch, folks, regardless of your positions on the practice. I'm left with a question for Alfie. Why do you dislike or hate women? Alfie refers to women as birds. It's a slang term like chicks. You spend the movie instructing us on how you conquer each of your birds, warn us of their expectations or manipulations, then mistreat them. You sire a beautiful boy, then leave only to watch him raised by another man. You order an abortion delivered to your apartment like a pizza, then split as if the cleaning lady arrived and conveniently returned to the apartment after the mess is cleaned up. Do you hate women or yourself, Alfie? What's it all about? On my most recent viewing, I found myself telling Alfie, I've seen enough. Then I asked, instead of a remake, why not make a movie about a female version of Alfie? Man, I'd like to see that. Then we're introduced to Ruby, played by Shelley Winters.
Alfie, don't you ever think about bringing your girlfriends flowers or candy?
Yeah, I often think about it, but I never do it. Not unless we're in hospital.
Don't put your wet glass on my polished table.
Do you know you're getting bleeding fussy?
I am not getting bleeding fussy.
Yes, you are.
I am not fussy.
Hello. Ah! She's in beautiful condition. You're a little sex pot, ain't you?
Am I?
Yeah, you're a little lust box, ain't you? My little lust box. I might settle down with her. With a wife like Ruby, you wouldn't want nothing on the side, you know what I mean?
A manipulator of Alfie, not a victim, as we'll discover. Brilliant casting, and who better than Shelley than to mete out Alfie's comeuppance? Shelley plays a voluptuous American named Ruby, who Alfie finds in bed with a young guitar player. Ruby plays Alfie like her fiddle.
Why him better than me? What's he got that I haven't, apart from long hair? Well, come on, let's have it. What's he bleeding got?
He's younger than you are.
The abortion shook Alfie up as much as a man with his sensibilities can be, and decides to, for lack of a better term, settle down. But who does he select? Ruby. It's not an accident. Alfie selects Ruby because she shares his sensibilities. Ladies, Ruby delivers revenge to Alfie, served frozen. I submit to you, Alfie expected, craved, and wanted to be punished emotionally, and knew Ruby would deliver. At times, I heard Alex, played by Malcolm McDowell in Clockwork Orange, within Kane's Alfie, and the abortionist played by Denholm Elliott sounds eerily like the truant officer played by Aubrey Morris named P.R. Deltoid inside Clockwork Orange, which was released in 1972, 6 years after Alfie. I've seen Clockwork so many times I can't count, but return to the maxim of this podcast. Nothing happens in film by accident, just saying. The movie ends on a bridge with the London skyline at night, with Big Ben in the backdrop. The evening sky is black and blue, just as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast. A metaphor for the beating this movie is meted out. Alfie is alone and abandoned, except for the stray dog introduced within the beginning of the film with a pack of dogs. But like Alfie, is now alone.
You know what? When I look back on my little life and the birds I've known, and think of all the things they've done for me and the little I've done for them, you'd think I'd had the best of it all along the line. But what have I got out of it? I got a bob or two, some decent clothes, a car. I got my health back, and I ain't attached. But I ain't got me peace of mind. And if you ain't got that, you ain't got nothing. I don't know. It seems to me, if they ain't got you one way, they got you another. So what's the answer? That's what I keep asking myself. What's it all about? Know what I mean?
It's a beautiful circle in a writer's bringing us full circle with geometric precision. Alfie asks us, what's it all about? What's it all about is answered by Cher singing the lyrics over the closing credits.
Come on, boy, come on.
What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when you sort it out, Alfie? Are we meant to take more than we give?
Alfie was written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, two giants of music you should explore. The album Alfie was orchestrated and conducted by Oliver Nelson. The soundtrack throughout the movie featured jazz saxophonist Sonny Rollins, accompanied by a talented assembly of musicians. Check them out. The soundtrack is pivotal within this film, stoking emotions like a fireplace poker. 4 Oscar nominations, no wins. Shout out to Lewis Gilbert and cinematographer Otto Heller for not only a beautifully directed and photographed film, but also the brilliant neglect of opening credits, but very artful and cool closing credits, which are so simple, like breaking the fourth wall. Revealing the faces of the cast and crew with still photographs underneath bright blue credits, making them all real to us, like friends accompanying us on Alfie's journey. What's it all about? Is a question I always attempt to answer at the end of my podcast. So, until I see you next time, listen up, all you Alfies. Leave behind a soft footprint. That's what it's all about. Class is dismissed.
And with all due respect, avoid the 2004 remake with Jude Law and find the original. You'll be rewarded with a movie of conflicts, a comedy that is anything but, a sexist film that really isn't, or vice versa, depending on your perspective. You've been listening to the Razor's Ink podcast with Jonathan Farini. Be sure to check out Jonathan's collection of fiction at the Jonathan B. Farini Story Collection at jonathanfarini.com. There you'll find everything from drama to romance, something for every reader, including Sales Made of Cash, recently published by Egophobia magazine. That's jonathanfarini.com, Farini with two R's, one N. Or drop an email to razorsincpodcast@gmail.com.
Alfie.